In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus appoints 12 men, and they're a pretty unlikely bunch of chaps, as we're about to look into this morning. So in terms of picking a human terms, this bunch of chaps that Jesus has picked to do an impossible job seems a little bit crazy when we have a quick look in a moment at who they were and their backgrounds. But we need to remember in all of this that God has a plan. This is not just, as we might understand it as humans, picking a bunch of blokes who's going to go out and do something which seems to be totally impossible. And so we look in verses 14 and 15, and he, Jesus, appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons. So they've got a fairly large task, trying to step into Jesus' shoes. And we know from last week that for religious and political reasons, the Pharisees have got a very intolerant through history. If we look back into Luke 13, verses 33 to 35, we'll see that there's a massive history of the Jewish hierarchy stoning the prophets or making life so uncomfortable that they wanted to give up on what God had sent them to do. And in fact, some of them gave up by being dead, so I guess they can't do any more after that. And the line I love about the prophets in Jeremiah is that they dropped Jeremiah in the mire when they dropped him down into a water storage pot. So we know that to be a prophet is a fairly risky business. And last week we were informed that the Pharisees and Herodians had joined forces in an attempt to set up a plan, which was about to get rid of Jesus as well. So the past history is now in the present in the New Testament, and the same issue is there in the minds of the Jewish hierarchy. They need to get rid of Jesus very early on in the story. Let's just have a quick look at who he chooses. So, and I've printed a little more detail in the newsletter for you to follow that. Not much, but it's there. So I've extracted this information. For some of you who read Bibles and find some of the stuff to understand, something like the Application Study Bible, this is a NIV version, but these Bibles have a whole lot of footnotes in them, and they can be helpful if you're reading the Bible and you're struggling to try and work out what something is. It's a simple reference point where you can get some insight for each of the chapters in the Bible. There's always some little inserts in there which can be helpful. I've extracted this summary from there. Three of the people that Jesus has chosen are of unknown character. There's one who's very eager to bring people to Jesus. There's one who's described as being honest and straightforward, and one who's courageous but's mixed up with some doubts. And there's one who has a questioning attitude. Now, sometimes questioning attitudes can be pretty annoying, but sometimes they can be helpful. So that's probably the best qualities that he seems to have. And then for the others, I'll let you guess who these two are, but two ambitious and judgmental and short-tempered. Ian described those very well for us in terms of sons of thunder. One despised and an outcast, we talked about him very recently. One a fierce patriot, and one who is greedy and treacherous. It's not too hard to work out who he is. Now, there's no qualifications from the Temple College or graduates or rich persons or people with political resources and all of that. It's a very odd bunch of people who Jesus chooses to step into his shoes. And think about the worldly power bases. I mean, we've got the Pharisees, who have centuries of control over the religion of Judaism, so they are well entrenched and very well established with their power base and their authority. And we've got the Herodians, who have the political power of the Jewish state. And whilst there's tension in that relationship between the Jews and the Romans, there's also a status of relationship of contact with the Romans, which we saw in the Acts of the Apostles last year, where they worked together with trying to deal with Paul. And so as we move on, we find that the Pharisees plan to kill Jesus. And this very act of their plan and the outcome will change human relationships with God from the old covenant, the strict obedience to the law relationship, to the new covenant, which is based on God's redeeming new command to love one another as Christ loved us. That was the introduction hymn. If we love one another, then others will know that we are Christ's disciples. So there's a challenge in that, but it's a massive shift in how humanity gets a relationship with God. So we just need to remember in all of this that God has had a plan and continues to have a plan. And the important thing to understand is that this is a plan about spiritual life. It's not a plan about our earthly life, our success, our status, or any of that. This is about our spiritual life, which begins in simplistic terms at birth and ends at death. And on the other side of death is the promise that God has for us. Jesus has gone, prepared a room for us. That's why we gather as Christians. It's not about our earthly success. We might be blessed with that, but it's about our future life in the presence of our God. And that's why, as we now prepare to celebrate for Easter, if I get a little bit excited, I'm not on dope next week. It's just that it's Easter. I mean, what a fantastic thing God has done for us. It's just something which I find an exciting thing and something which is a treasure to behold. So we're out with the old legal covenant and in with the new covenant command of love. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're able to, and it's only in the context of this, as we saw in the Acts of the Apostles, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to love as God would want us to love one another. And it's by this that we are known, that we are disciples of Jesus. And maybe I was a bit rough by using the word we, but that motley lot, that motley 12, we too, I'll speak for myself, I'm a pretty motley person. But if we think about the diversity and all of that that's amongst us, even sitting in this church this morning, God will use each one of us in our different ways, as inadequate as we often are or feel we might be. God can use us to bring others to Jesus. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe that? Do we believe that God can use us to do that? And as we come to Easter and then head on to Pentecost, we've got some exciting celebrations for the Christian year to join together in and find some joy and just expression of God's love working within us. Thanks, Bruce.